Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again today. We hope that you're having a great day. I know some of you may be sick and not able to go to church this morning, so you may be home reading, you listen to us on the radio. Others may be traveling. I know it's time for celebration, for families getting together. I know ours got together last Saturday, not this past Saturday, but the one before. And we had a great time of celebrating Christmas with our family. So we hope that you all will have a wonderful Christmas. And I hope that you'll be able to worship the Lord and remember the reason that he did come. And that's what we'll be looking at this morning. We'll read from Matthew chapter 20, verses 27 through 29, as we think about, tell me again, why did he come? And so we're going to look at that, and I hope it'll help you remember why exactly we are celebrating Christmas, what it's all about. Now's a better time than any to share that with lost people that are around you. Maybe you have some lost people in your family, and you need to share with them during this holiday season when you're together what Jesus can do for them. Maybe you're out shopping, you know, so many people out in the malls and everywhere today. And so you just make sure that you take those opportunities that God gives you to share with those that are around. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get right into it. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you once again for our opportunity to come and to read from your word and to study from it and to proclaim it, Lord. I just pray that we would never fail to do that, Lord, that it will always be your word. I pray that you will cleanse me of my sin and unrighteousness and anything that may stand between me and you, that, Lord, that we can proclaim it in a way that people can hear it and understand it, and that, Lord, that when we leave from this time of worship, that we will not be confused, but, Lord, we will understand exactly why Jesus came to this world and why he is so important to each and every one of us that we should celebrate his birth in the next week, Lord. So I just pray for those that are stranded at home, maybe because of sickness and illness this morning. We pray, Lord, for their restored health. We pray for those that may be traveling today. So give them traveling graces, Lord, to and from where they're going. But speak to us now as we give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it all. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. This morning, as I said, we'll be reading from Matthew chapter 20, verses 27 through 29. And it says, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed them." You know, this morning, as we think about these verses, what has happened, we see that James and John's mother had come to Jesus and said, "Look, when you go in and set up your kingdom, how about letting one of my sons sit on one side and another son sit on the other side?" And Jesus said, "You just don't know what you're asking, woman, you know, because you really don't understand why I have come." And, you know, as I thought about that, he went on to tell her, said, "And that's not for me to give anyway." And so then he goes on and he says to his disciples, If you want to be great in my kingdom, then you've got to be a servant, because the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life for a ransom for many. You know, even in Jesus' day, people were confused about why did he come? Why did he come? You know, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, and we're celebrating because of what he did while he was here on the earth, because he is the Savior of the world. But we have to ask ourselves the question, why did he come? We had an opportunity a couple weeks ago. We had a young lady come through our church, young mother, and born in Mississippi and raised in Mississippi. And our WMU ladies happened to be meeting, and they began to minister to her and witness to her and to talk to her. And, you know, this lady really didn't know anything about the Bible, didn't have a Bible. We were able to give her a Bible. She really didn't understand about who Jesus is and what he did and what was going to happen to her when she died. She just thought she'd be out there in never land, and that there is really no heaven or no hell. And you know, brothers and sisters, we need to let people know that there are real places of heaven and hell, and there are only two choices. You're going to one or the other. But, you know, at the end of all that conversation, and after us sharing with her and sharing with her about the Christmas season and about Jesus, she looks at me before she leaves, and this is what she said. She said, "Now tell me again, why did he come?" Think about that. This is a person raised in the Bible Belt of the United States of America. Matter of fact, we've been called the buckle of the Bible Belt because we are slap dab in the middle of it. And yet, here is a person who really didn't know why Jesus came. We see that the mother of James and John, the wife of Zebedee, she really didn't understand why Jesus came. We see that so many in that day and time didn't understand why Jesus came. And so I'm afraid today that, you know, that we have a lot of people who are going through this Christmas season. We have a lot of people who are out there buying presents and celebrating and talking about Santa Claus and all these things that really don't have a clue of why Jesus came. So tell me again, they say, why Jesus came. So that's the reason this morning that we're going to spend this time looking at why did Jesus come. What was the whole purpose of it? You know, what's the whole purpose of us celebrating his birth? Why are we celebrating his birth? What was so important about what he did? What is so important about him that we should give a national holiday? And you know, I'm going to tell you now, brothers and sisters, I'm kind of afraid the way our nation's going that there may come a day and time that we don't call it Christmas. And, you know, I hate to see somebody with an Xmas up there. You know, you see sometimes people selling Christmas trees and say Xmas, or somebody have a sale and they'll say Xmas. Listen, Jesus is no Xmas. Jesus is the Christ. It is Christmas, Christmas. It is his Christ Mass that we must remember, that only without Jesus there is no Christmas. So what's so important about that? What did he do? You know, why did he come? Do you know this morning? If somebody were to look you in the face this morning and say, okay, tell me again, why did Jesus come? And somebody looked at you in the face this morning and said, can you tell me again, why did Jesus come? Could you actually sit down and tell them why he came? So this morning, that's what I want us to look at. As we see, as he answers the question here, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life for a ransom for many. Did you hear that? He says Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He didn't come to set up that earthly kingdom so that everybody could minister to him. No, he came for a reason, to minister to us, to do the things for us that we need. And so this morning I want us to look at four reasons that I believe that the Bible points out of why Jesus came. Four reasons that I believe that we can share why Jesus came. The first is, I believe, to keep a promise. He came to keep a promise. God had made us a promise, and he came to keep it. He came to prove his love, to prove the love of God. Without Jesus coming and walking the earth and giving his life, then how would we really know how much God loves us? He came to pay a debt that we could not pay, a debt that only he could pay. And then he came for propitiation for us all. Now, what is this propitiation? We'll get to that. That's a word that we hear a lot in the Bible. Not a lot in the Bible. We hear a lot of people talking about it in reference to Jesus, that he came as a propitiation for each of us. So what in the world does that word mean? It's an awful big word, but it just means for atonement. So we'll get to that in a little bit later on. So let's look back then as we're thinking about, tell me again why Jesus came. Why are we celebrating his birth? What's so important about him? What is it that he did that makes it so important? So let's read and think about it as we continue thinking about that question. Well, the first thing that I said, what? Is that he came to do what? Keep a promise. Now, if you listened to us last Sunday, I preached on the Jesus of the Old Testament. And we talked about many verses in the Old Testament. We looked at a bunch of them in Isaiah, did we not? If you was listening. and we covered a lot of Old Testament verses. We talked about how Jesus was there, and even in Daniel, and in the Psalms, and in Genesis, even at the beginning, and in Isaiah, and in Numbers, and a whole lot of others that we can mention, that Jesus was there in the Old Testament. So the Old Testament, as I shared with you last time, was that old covenant that we have with God, and the New Testament is that new covenant. But it all happened because God had made a promise in the Old Testament. Throughout the Old Testament, he made a promise that a Messiah was coming. We used last week in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. What did it say? This shall be a sign unto you that a virgin can conceive and bring forth a child, and shall call his name what? Emmanuel, which is what? God with us. That she's going to conceive, it's going to be of the Holy Ghost, it's going to be of God, it's going to be the Savior of the world. He's going to be that which saves the world. What did Jesus say? I came not to minister, but not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life for a ransom. That was a promise that we see that God makes in the Old Testament. He makes us that promise that a Messiah is coming. He's making that promise that Jesus, it was going to come on the scene at one day or another. And we see that Jesus' coming keeps God's promises. Now listen to me. God's never made a promise he did not keep, folks. He keeps every promise that he ever made. And the promises that he made to Abraham, the promises that he made to David, he keeps those promises even up unto today. The promises that he has made to me and to you, God keeps his promises. And we see that Jesus, he came because he came to keep that promise that there would be a Messiah coming, born of a virgin, born of the Holy Ghost, who would come and save his people from their sins. That is why Jesus came. He kept that promise. You know, I said God keeps all of his promises. We find a story over in Luke chapter 2 after the birth of Jesus. We see that they carry him into the temple to do with him as required to them by the Jewish law. And as they come into that temple, who do they find there? You know, they find Simon, Simeon. And Simeon is there, and as he's there, he was a devout man. He was a man that was waiting on what? He was waiting on the consolation. He was waiting to see the promise. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 32, we find this story, and what happens? We see that it says in verse 26 that when he saw Jesus, you know, the Holy Spirit had revealed unto him that by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord Christ. In other words, God had made this man, Simeon, a promise. He says, you're not going to see death until you see the promise that I've made, that which I have promise to the world, that Savior, which is Jesus. So when they bring Jesus in, and he sees, and the Spirit reveals unto him, this is that Christ. This is the one that I've been telling you about. This is the one that we've been preparing for. This is the one that you've been telling people about. And he took the child into his hands, and what did he say? He said, oh, now, Lord, let your servant depart in peace. Now I can die in peace because I have seen the salvation of Israel. I have seen the light to the Gentiles. Do you remember last week we talked about how that he was called the light to the Gentiles? That was one of the prophecies that there would come, a light to the Gentiles, one of the verses of the Old Testament. Well, here we see Simeon referring back to that. He said, here is the salvation of Israel. Here is the light to the Gentiles. Now I can die in peace. God has kept his promise. See, brothers and sisters, God keeps his promises. He keeps his promises. He's going to do what he said he's going to do. And Jesus coming to this world in the form of a babe lying in a manger, brothers and sisters, was God keeping his promise. So then let's look at the second thing. Not only is it God being able to keep his promise, but we see that it also, it proves God's love for us. It was to prove God's love for us. Can you imagine how much God really must have loved us as human beings? You know, we ask ourselves the questions a lot of times. This is a love that we do not deserve. This is a love that should not have been poured out upon us. But yet God, because he loves us so much, isn't that amazing? To think about that love of God, that he would want to leave heaven and come in the form of a babe, to be in the form of men to you, that to come into that form, and then to suffer, to minister unto us. You know, he could have came back and came to this earth as a mighty king and ruled the earth and made everybody love him. But he loved us so much that he didn't want to do that. He wants you to love him, because not because he makes you, but because you want to love him. He doesn't do it because he wants to force you into loving. You know, can you force anybody into loving? Think about that just a minute. You know, you can't make people love you, can you? You can't make people love you. You can love them, and you can do as much as you want to, but you can't make them love you. Well, we see that God, he loves us so much. And this is the reason that Jesus came. This is the reason that he came from heaven to earth. The Bible says in John 3:16, we all know it, for God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Now, how could you give a son that hadn't been born yet? Think about that just a minute. How can you give a son unless you're born, unless you come to this earth? You know, he had to come to this earth. Jesus coming to this earth, he came for what? Tell me now again, why did he come? He came to keep a promise, but he also came to prove the love of God. It was to prove to the world just how much God loves us. Just how much he loves us. He loved the world, and for that reason, we see that he came to this earth so that he could prove that love to us. What better way to prove that love than for him to come and to be here with us? You know, when you think about somebody telling you they love you, well, if they don't ever want to spend any time with you, do you really believe it? If somebody tells you, well, I really love you, but they don't want to come over to your house, they don't want to go out with you, they don't want to do things with you and spend time with you, do you really think they love you? You know, God proved his love because he wanted to spend time. And he came to this earth, what? He called his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. He wanted to be with us. He wants to be with you every day. He wants to live within you through the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. And he wants to be a part of your life and a part of every part of your life. Every part of your life. Not just one part or this part. Not just to save your soul. He's interested in what's going on with you physically. He loves you so much. He's worried about your physical condition. Everything that he does for us is to keep us well and happy. But brothers and sisters, we chose to sin. We chose to bring that. But God loves you. And Jesus came to prove that love. In Romans chapter 5 verse 8, what did it say? That God commended his love toward us, that even while we were yet sinners, God commended his love toward us. Isn't that amazing? He sent Jesus to this world. He allowed him to be here on this earth with us, to be around us, to minister, to love us. And didn't he do that while he was here on the face of this earth? The people that he healed, the people that he saved, raising Lazarus from the dead, you know, just time after time, we could just name instant after instant, where God proved his love through Jesus while he walked this earth, how much he loved us and was concerned about every faction of our life. Did he not feed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, with those two fish, and there was 5 loaves one day because they were hungry? You know, God loves you, and he proved that love unto you by sending his son Jesus. By Jesus coming to this world, he proves his love to each and every one of us. And we must ask ourselves, are we going to love him? Matter of fact, you keep reading in that Romans chapter 5 on past verse, what does it say? Who can separate us from that love of God? Can anything separate you from the love of God? No, God loves you that much. And Jesus' coming was to prove that love. Well, let's look at the third thing that we said. Not only did Jesus come to keep the promise, not only did he come to prove God's love for you, but we see that he came for what? He came to pay a debt. He came to pay the debt of sin that we could not pay. There is no way we could pay that sin a debt. Only Jesus Christ, that perfect sacrifice, What did Jesus say? He came to do what? To give his life a ransom for many. He came to give his life for a ransom. Now, what does that mean when you give a ransom? That's when somebody kidnaps someone else or has someone else in bondage or whatever and won't turn them loose. And so what do? You pay a big price to get them out. And we've heard that. We've seen movies about it. Well, can you imagine? We sold ourselves unto sin. Didn't nobody kidnap us. We sold ourselves unto the devil. There's a lot of people selling their souls out to the devil today. There's a lot of people who are making deals with the devil even right now, and they're selling their souls out to the devil. Well, Jesus came to redeem us. We use that word redeem. Jesus came to redeem you from the devil. He came to pay a price, pay your debt that you could not pay. Some people were in bondage, you know, because of their debt that they couldn't pay. Some people were in debt, in that debtor's prison in Jesus' day. And that's the reason he uses this term, that he came to redeem us, to get us out of that debt, to get us back to the Father, to get us back to where we needed to be. Listen to what he says in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. He says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. Did you hear that? That in the fullness of time, what did God do? He sent forth his Son, how? Of a woman that was under the law. Now, did you hear that? Do you hear it talking about the Christmas story right there? That when the time was right, when the fullness of time came, when it was God's time to prove his love, to keep his promise, when his plan had come to reality, what did it say? In the fullness of time came, he sent his Son, what? Of a woman. A woman under the law. And why did he send him? To redeem us. That's what he said. To redeem us from under the law. See, we were under that old covenant. That old covenant was one of the law, as we talked about a little bit last week. But the new covenant is a covenant what? Under grace, under Jesus Christ. And so he came to pay that debt, to be that ransom, so that we can be what? So that we can be adopted into the family of God, being the sons of God, being bought back out of that sin, bought back from Satan himself. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, he says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So look at this. He says Jesus came to do what? To give himself that he might redeem us from all iniquity. So he didn't just want to redeem us from all iniquity. He didn't just want to pay the debt of our iniquity. But what did he want to do? Purify us. Think about that just a minute. To purify us from all that sin. To purify so that he could call us what? His people, a peculiar people that were zealous of good works. So I asked you this morning, did he waste his time on you? Did he waste his time on you in trying to redeem you and trying to buy you back? You know, we studied not long in our Sunday school lessons about Hosea and about how his wife was like an unfaithful woman and was an unfaithful woman to symbolize how Israel was like an unfaithful woman unto God and how many times he went and redeemed her and how many times he went and got her back. I ask you this morning, did God sending his Son Jesus, was it wasted on you? Are you going to become that purified, peculiar people that are zealous to good works that Jesus wants you to be, that he's calling you out to be, that he wants you to be? That's the reason he came, folks, is to redeem you from your sins. Tell me again, why did he come? Was it just so we could have a day off of work? Was it just so we could have a national holiday time? Was it just so we could decorate our houses with lights and Christmas trees? Was it just so we could give presents for others? You know why? Tell me again. Why was it Jesus came? To prove the promises of God, to bring that promise and keep that promise. He came to do what? To prove his love for us and to pay this debt that we had of sin so that we can be purified and we can be his people, his bride, his church. Well, then let's look at the last one that I said. The last one I said is that he came to do what? To be a propitiation for all. The propitiation for all. Now what in the world does that word mean? You know, we hear that word. It's in the Bible. It talks about him. We'll read you one of those verses in just a minute. We know that Romans talks about in chapter 3 about that he was that propitiation for us. But what in the world does it mean that he was a propitiation? Well, it kind of covers all these before us. In other words, he was that atonement for our sins. He made amends. He helped us to regain favor with God. See, sin separates us from God. Sin destroys our relationship with God. Sin stands before us and God. So Jesus came to this world. You remember the first time that the world got so sinful? What did God do? He destroyed it with water, did he not? He sent a great flood, and he saved who? Noah and Noah's family. And he built a big ark, and he put them in it, and the animals. And what happened? We see that Noah and his family were called upon to replenish the earth. But God washed her clean, and God said, I'll never punish the earth again for what man does. I'll never do that again. So when man became so sinful again, then who could pay that debt that we could not pay? God loved us so much, he didn't want to destroy us again. So what did he do? He kept a promise found back in Isaiah that we talked about a while ago, that God sent his son, born of a virgin, born of a woman under the law, so that he could do what? So that he could keep us from sin, and he could pay the price for our sins so that we could regain our favor with God, that he could make amends for our sin. And this is the reason that he came, to make amends for our sin. See, there's nothing good enough that we could do. That debt, we couldn't pay it that we talked about a while ago. We could not redeem ourselves. There was nothing we could do. There was no way we could mend that rip between us and God. There's no way that we could bring it back together in our relationship and amend it and to find that favor once again and regain that favor with God, only through the coming of Jesus. If he had not come, then we would not be at peace with God today, brothers and sisters. We wouldn't be here, probably. He would probably destroy us again. But we find in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world." Did you hear that? For he is that propitiation. He is that atonement. He is that ultimate sacrifice. He is that which makes amends. He is that which regains our favor with God and removes us from our sins. But he says, but not for just us only, but for who? The whole world. Now, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? You know, there are some religious groups that have you to think that Jesus only came to atone for several certain people, that you don't have any choice of choosing Jesus or not. They'd want you to think that there's selective atonement, that Jesus only was the propitiation for this person or that person, and maybe you're not one of those people. But my Bible tells me right there that what did it say? That he came not only for a propitiation of my sins, but for what? The sins of the whole world. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems to mean to me that he came for the whole world. For God so loved what? The world, that he gave his only begotten son. So this propitiation, Jesus didn't come. He was not just a gift just to some people and not to other people. You know, isn't it sad when some people get gifts and others don't? Have you ever been to a Christmas party and everybody got a gift but you? How'd you feel? How did it make you feel? Would you do that to some of your children? Would you do that to some of your children? Would you give half of your children gifts on Christmas morning and the other half not get anything? You know, would you do that? No, you wouldn't do that. You give them all gifts. When Jesus came, he is a propitiation for the whole world. Not just for one or two, but for the whole world. This morning I want to read then to you Luke chapter 4, what Jesus said out of his own mouth in Luke chapter 4, beginning there with verse 16. And listen to what Jesus said himself about why he came. We see that it says in Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as the custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down, and all the eyes that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears." Brothers and sisters, that's why Jesus came. That's why he came. Do you know him? Do you know why he came? This morning somebody asked you, why did he come? Tell me again. He came to keep the promise that God had made of a Messiah. He came to prove the love of God for us. He came to pay our debt, to redeem us from our sins, to be that propitiation for the whole world, to amend us our relationship with God. That's why he came. That's why we celebrate Christmas today. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these that have listened so attentively. And I pray, Lord, that we can go forth with a new understanding and a new zeal about why Jesus came, why we're celebrating Christmas, that we'll be able to tell people again and again and again why he came. Let no one go and celebrate this Christmas without truly understanding why you came, why you loved us, why you did what you did. Thank you, God, for being that loving God that you are, to give your only Son for our special gift, the perfect gift, to pay the price for our sins. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.